Healing Touch is today's talk, and it's about, we're always talking about the powers that we have within us that we don't realize sometimes that we have. And because we don't realize it, we keep looking outside for it, an answer. Most of the time, there is an inner answer and an inner reason for why something's going on in our lives. And one of the first things we do in New Thought is we have a tendency to like say, what did I do wrong? And so then we add more insult to the injury that's creating the manifestation of whatever's going on. One of the things we have a hard time with understanding is that we are spiritual beings and we have come into the physical plane and we're going to leave. So one of the biggest things we have is our fear of that leaving. And so a lot of times things that are going on in our lives is to help us get past that fear. And so sometimes we're faced with that very fear that it's going to happen and we have to sit in it and push ourselves deeper into who we really, really are. So in my life, I've found that what I was taught sometimes was actually getting in the way of living my life fully and completely. Sometimes I needed a wake-up call. And that's why the thing that was going on in my life was going on in my life. So when I was taught to always turn the other cheek, to be the bigger one, the higher person, it meant I was the perfect doormat for anybody to come and say whatever they wanted to say about me and say it behind my back. And I was not supposed to do anything about it, ever. I was never supposed to say, I don't like what you're doing. And because I couldn't say that, I ended up with plantar fasciitis. I couldn't put my foot down. And I didn't realize that for a really long time. That picking up the phone and telling the person after a year and a half and after many doctor's appointments that was what I needed to do. Now, that may not work for everybody because their plantar fasciitis might be about a firm understanding of something. It might be something entirely different. But in my case, this is what it was. And it was a woman. And so I had to go back to my childhood and remember, Mom was really scary. You do not stand up to that woman. Okay, so when somebody looks like that, I told myself a spiritual story of I'm the higher person. I'm turning the other cheek. That was not it. I was afraid to put my foot down. That's really what it was. It really was that. It really was, I was afraid to say something, to recognize that some people are just not on your cheering squad. They don't have your back. They're not safe, but that you don't need to get angry at them. You just have to see them as teachers to teach you about loving yourself. Because when you're a doormat, you don't love yourself. You're letting yourself be beat up. You're putting yourself in harm's way when you keep going back and say, give me more. I can take it. I'm spiritual. Give me more. So when I put my foot down, it instantly went away. And all of a sudden, I could walk in flip-flops as opposed to special shoes with special implants and all those different things. And I tested it. I walked around Francis Park down the city 4 times to make sure that really was true. Really. It's like, this seems unbelievable. How could it happen that instantly? And I started to understand that it was a message already coming through on the mental plane from my spiritual self, my higher self, but I didn't get it. So it had to move into the physical plane so I could hear it louder. And that's why I joke and say, it will need to get bigger and uglier and stinkier and hurt more until we really say, what is this really about? Because this journey requires complete honesty, authenticity, saying words that we don't feel, thinking thoughts that we don't really feel, is not going to work. Because there's something within us that knows what we're really thinking and feeling, and that's the instructions it's given. I'm afraid to put my foot down is going to manifest as a foot that hurts to put it down. And so I'm afraid to put it down. Everything that's going on is undoing stories. A lot of us grew up with the stories in the Bible, and one of my favorite stories is the one where Jesus shows up at the pool where the man is a cripple, and he's waiting for that one healing by that angel that shows up and stirs the pool at one moment. He's waiting, but he can't get there fast enough, and every time somebody else gets there before he does, and so he's never healed. But I don't believe the Bible was ever about personalities. I believe it was about us believing at times that we're crippled, that we can't live our life fully, and that there's an inner voice, a Christ consciousness, our enlightened self, that says, get up. Don't believe the stories. Get up. Now, we're not talking about a physical getting up. We're talking about an inside standing up and understanding who we are, no matter what our physical being is doing, to actually rise up into the truth of what we are. And in this analogy, he's saying, this parable, don't believe that it's a special person with a special circumstance at a special time, and that's when it happens, and you're just unlucky, or that God loves you more, or loves that person more. When we believe that God loves this person more than that one, we've made God into a personality, and it's mom loves you more than me, dad loves you more than me. It's that same thing. But when we understand we are God expressing here, we're standing up in the truth of who we are. Then that inner voice says in this story, sin no more, or something worse will happen. Now that sounds really, really scary. But if we know that sin is an archery term that means missing the mark, if you go back into the old stories and you still don't get it, it will get bigger. Okay? And that's what we're talking about today, right? So if we're living in a small story, we probably don't know we're living in the story because it's hidden under a whole society that's following the story, a whole belief system, a whole consciousness that believes it, the world consciousness. But there's something else that's saying, dig deeper. Get underneath the story. Remember who and what you are, that you're eternal. Remember that you are moving through this world and you came with special gifts, and it's all going to look different for every person. And when you get lost in your story, you will have a wake-up call. It will be a person saying something to you, it will be a discomfort within you, and you will eventually, if you don't get it, you will call it disease. That's what Louise Hayes is talking about on that first opening quote, dis-ease. The dis-ease will get larger until you get it. When you don't recognize not only what you are, but what everybody else is, then you'll have a wake-up call. When you try to rescue people who can rescue themselves, but you don't give them the opportunity to do it, and you run in and rescue them, it will backfire on you. When you give them money, and they are adults, your own money will diminish. Because that's not abundance thinking. That's rescue thinking. That's not God is within you thinking. That's why we say when you give, give to Feed My People, give to an organization. But if it's somebody you know, and you've done this before, I guarantee you, you haven't been real successful at it. For some reason, they didn't change who they were. They're the same one, wanting more money now. And what you robbed them of was their own divinity. What you robbed them of was their own sense of, I can do this. The thing that you found within yourself that is your greatest gift. That sitting in the discomfort and getting to the point where you can make the mental shift and things begin to change for you. And it's not just words, but it's a true understanding. Things begin to shift. So when we look at what is going on in our lives, the physical manifestation, whether that is our bank account, or our body, or our relationship, or our job, when we look at the physical of it, if it's showing up in the physical, know that it is the louder expression of a voice that's always been speaking to you. It just had to get louder. Then you say, okay, what are you teaching me? What are you saying to me? And it will show up, as she says in that opening quote, in a particular form based on what it is. If I'm critical of everybody, it will probably show up as arthritis. And it's probably because, number one, I'm very critical of myself. I have to have compassion for myself and my mistakes that I made, and then I don't have to point out everybody else's because I understand that they're not mistakes at all, but they're a journey. They're a journey. And we're set down in this journey with loss of memory of who we really are. And they're not mistakes, but wake-up calls. And if you don't make any mistakes, you've made the biggest mistake. That's the irony of it. If you're not willing to make mistakes, you've made the biggest mistake. Because you came here to live life. And life is about getting your hands dirty. It's about getting into the soil. It's about finding out what's underneath the surface. It's about digging for the treasure. And you find for a long time when you're digging, looking for something outside of you, that it's actually within you. So when we can remember that everything that's going on in the outer is actually coming from within. Pure creative energy is working on the instructions of our thoughts, feelings, and beliefs. And that's it. So the answer is, what are my thoughts on this? What are my beliefs on this? What are my real feelings about this? My holding on to guilt will create pain in my body because I am saying I need to be punished for what I did. So guilt always leads to punishment. Okay? So the answer is not to keep fixing the outer, but to let yourself off the hook and say, that's who I was then. And that person was participating with me. We obviously had some kind of soul agreement of what was going on here. There's so many ways, because there's so many stories, because there's so many infinite possibilities. And that's why each one of us needs to make it our own. Each one of us needs to find the voice within us that's instructing us. And to remember, we can say very clearly, give me guidance on this. And be very specific. Just like Richard say, I can take you to a higher level, but I could take you to a lower level. So we're going to be very specific when we're asking for guidance. It's like, what is it? Make it so clear make it in the next song I hear, the book I open, the person I meet, the words on the television. It doesn't matter. Just bombard me with the answer so I know what it is. And ask yourself, what do I really want to do about this situation? Well, what I really wanted to do for a year and a half was pick up the phone and tell her to knock it off, okay? But I couldn't give myself permission to do that. I was on a spiritual journey. You never get angry on a spiritual journey. Didn't you know that? You are walking, talking peace all the time, right? You're only supposed to use this side of the emotions called positive and never use those over there. You don't get to color with all the crayons. You only get to use the pastels. But that's not it. You're not washed out. You're not pastels. You're all of it. Everybody has losses. It's unavoidable in life. Sharing our pain is very healing, Isabel Allende says. And it's true. Before our generation, people didn't talk about stuff. They held their stories within them. When they share their stories, when they're ready, other people receive it. They have a moment of, ah, I'm not alone. That's my story too. And we add and increase those, ah, I'm not alone. That's my story too. And finally we go, holy cow, this is happening a lot. And we all thought we had to hide ourselves. When we hide ourselves, we will feel comfort in, or rather discomfort and dis-ease in our bodies, in our lives, in our relationships. Because we're not supposed to hide ourselves. We're supposed to be authentic and real. So today's talk is called Healing Touch. When we understand that the discomfort, the dis-ease, is the healing touch. It's the gentle touch, the gentle shake. It's saying, the healing is here for you. You need to go deeper. You're keeping yourself busy in the drama of it, and you need to go within. That's where the healing is. It's a correction of thought. That's all it really is. And if somebody says, well, but I am actually physically crippled, it's because you bought into a story that there's only one way of being in this world. It's called upright and moving. And the world built a world that works for those who are upright and moving. Until our generation. Instead, maybe there's many ways of being physical in this world. Many ways. And we need to build a world that reflects that. And we need to put ramps in. And we need to be compassionate and loving and create a world that works for all instead of just some. And instead of seeing that as something wrong, we see it as a different way of being. And when somebody says they have a child that's mentally challenged, to say there's more than one way of being in this world, and they have something to teach. And we said it has to look like this, and they have to learn like this, and this is what has to happen. Then why, oh why, did God decide to manifest in that form? Did God make a mistake? Did God love itself more in one form than another? When we look at the questions very deeply, we see that the old answers don't make any sense. So today I invite us to all allow the healing touch, the opening of our eyes, the guidance to come in, very clear as to what will heal whatever hurt is going on for us, whatever discomfort, whatever dis-ease we are feeling. Thank you very much.